Good morning. Good, I got it on. I'm not terribly technology savvy, so the fact that I got the microphone on is a good thing. I just like to thank each and every one of you before I get started this morning. This is one of the churches that supports our ministry in Romania, and we're so thankful to have you as a ministry partner for all the support that you've given us, both financial and prayer support. We covet your prayers. I joke with people that, we've basically been in quarantine for the last 6 months, which is why my voice sounds the way that it does. After a message in Sunday school this morning, I'm praying that my voice is going to make it through. So bear with me. But it is an absolute pleasure to be here with you. It's a pleasure to see you in the house of the Lord. There's no better place we can be. We just finished celebrating his birth, and we're getting ready for a new year. And there's no place I'd rather be than here in one of the Lord's New Testament churches with each and every one of you. So we're going to be in Daniel chapter 1 this morning. Daniel chapter 1, starting in verse 1. We're going to be talking about change because we're getting ready for a new year, and we know that nothing but change is headed our way, and it's going to continue. And so how can we make lasting change in our lives? We'll be in Daniel chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. I ask you to stand if you're able for the reading of the word. This is the last time for a good long while, I promise. Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. It says, "In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried unto the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake to Ashpenaz, the king, or the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king." Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. And gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you this morning. Lord, we thank you for being our God, for allowing us to bring our petitions before you. Lord, for the love that you poured out on Calvary, that we could be your children. Lord, I just ask that you'll be with us, you'll be with our nation through this trying time, Lord, that you'll help us to seek you each and every day, Lord, that our desire and our goal would be to please you. Lord, I just ask that you'll be with this message, that you'll open our hearts and minds, Lord. Help us to take your word and apply it to our lives, Lord, that we could live lives that would be pleasing to you. Lord, we just thank you and we praise you in your precious Son, Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So this is the last Sunday in December, which means that New Year's is right around the corner. And what do we usually do on New Year's and leading up to New Year's? We like to take a look back at the previous year, and what do we make? A New Year's resolution, right? How we're going to do something different this year that we didn't do or should have done last year, right? That's generally what we like to do. Has anybody here ever made a New Year's resolution?
Amen.
Amen. Now, the real question, has anybody actually ever kept it through the entire year? Right? That's a whole lot more rare, isn't it? In fact, I was looking through some things and I found some statistics that said, most people that make a resolution to go to the gym make it until February. February, that's our attention span, right? We can't focus on anything for long enough to make lasting change. And so that's what we're going to be talking about this morning, making lasting, beneficial change in our lives. Because what generally happens is we're real diligent at the beginning and we're trying hard and we're going and we're working. And then it just kind of fizzles out as we continue, right? See, good intentions never complete tasks. See, we can have all the intentions of doing something, but that's not going to get it done unless there's something behind it driving it. In the world that we live in, it's very easy to let busyness take over, right? We got work, and then we got to take the kids here, and the sports, and we got to go shopping, and this and that. And it's so easy to let our lives get away from us and to stop focusing on the thing that's the most important. Which is nice to have December, a month where we as Christians can focus on the reason for the season, right? It's not about presents, though it's fun to get and receive, give and receive presents. That's not the reason for Christmas. We have Christmas because of the gift that was already given to us, Jesus Christ. And so as we get into this new year and as things start to build up and to go on as they do, I know that at one point in time, my schedule was so jam-packed that if I stopped for 10 minutes to talk to somebody, I was off schedule and my whole day could be thrown off. Right? Have you ever had your schedule so packed that you stop and you did something that you didn't plan for 30 minutes and your whole week was thrown off kilter? Right? That's happened to us before. But we know that things are going to continue to change. The nature of things is things continue to get worse. In fact, God told us to expect trials and tribulations. That's what we have to look forward to, but I'm not here to get you down. Don't be afraid, don't worry, because God is in control. Amen. We know that things aren't at an ideal state. The things around us can be stressful. They can cause us to doubt at times. But God told us to obey and to follow. And just because things aren't ideal or things are bad as we perceive them, that doesn't give us the right not to obey and follow. See, God didn't say, come and follow me if it's easy and convenient. In fact, it was just the opposite, trials and tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. That's what God told us. It's easy for us to allow the busyness, the things of this world, the things of this life to get us off track. And it's so difficult, it seems like, to stay on track, but so easy to get off track. So in this life, how can we stay on track, or how can we get back on track if we've come off track? I think that Daniel is one of the perfect examples of how to get on track and stay on track. Now, would everybody know what to do? He knew what he was supposed to do. And even through all the tumult and turmoil in his life, he was able to honor God. And we're going to look at how he did that this morning. The things that made him successful, we have four steps this morning. He purposed, he pooled, he published, and he proved. Our four steps this morning. The first step, he purposed. Daniel chapter 1 and the first half of verse 8, it says in Daniel 1, 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. He purposed within himself that he was going to follow God regardless of the consequences or his circumstances. See, knowledge is good, but would you consider a computer wise? No, but you can get all the knowledge you want off that computer. No, because knowledge is the application, or wisdom is the application of knowledge. It's not enough to know it. You have to put it into practice. Amen. Knowledge is just the beginning. But Daniel, he had the knowledge because he was given it by his parents, most likely. Daniel knew what was right. It wasn't a guessing game for him. It says that he purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the king's meat. He purposed to do what was right when it would have been very easy for him to go along with the flow. You and I, today, we need to decide, we need to purpose within our hearts that we're going to follow God no matter what. It doesn't matter what consequences there are for following God. The benefits far exceed the consequences. I believe, in general, each and every one of us know what's right. And let me tell you, if you don't know what's right, there's no excuse. God gave us an instruction manual for us to look at. We know what's right, or we can find out easily what's right and wrong. Are we doing what's right? Have we purposed within our heart to follow our God no matter what? Each and every one of us are in different situations, different households, maybe different communities. But we probably all have gone through some kind of turmoil in the last week, month, year, right? We all have different things weighing on our minds. Do we purpose within our hearts to follow God no matter the circumstances? Because it's so easy to say, oh, well, you know, I'd like to do that, but, you know, I have to do this or I have to do that. How many of us, when we get up in the morning, tell people, well, I have to go to church? Aren't you glad you get to go to church? We live in a country where we're allowed to assemble together. There's a lot of countries that don't have that right. There's a lot of people that don't let their circumstances stop them from worshiping God. We need to make biblically sound decisions and purpose in our heart that no matter the circumstances or the consequences, we're going to follow God to the end. We need to purpose. We also need to pool. Daniel pooled. Look with me, if you will, at Daniel 1 and verse 6. Daniel 1 verse 6 says, "Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah." See, Daniel didn't go it alone. He wasn't alone. He pooled, or he gathered in. Now, if you have three roommates and none of them can afford a car, they could pool their money together and use it. This is what Daniel did. He said, it's not enough for me to go this alone. I need support. And so he found three others like-minded to help him. It tells us in verse 11, "Then Daniel said to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over the four of them," what he wanted to do. He got people that were like-minded because he couldn't do it by himself. A lot of times we get sidetracked on, I need to go it alone. But the Bible tells us that a three-string cord is not easily broken. We need to find help as we go through. See, there was four people, but it seems like Daniel was the ringleader, right? It was a burden for him first, and he found others to support him, and they had that support group throughout the rest of their life. If you look through the book of Daniel, this wasn't the first hiccup that they had in the road, right? Well, we find out later there was this thing called the fiery furnace. Have you guys heard of that, right? And the three Hebrew children were thrown in that. Guess who those three Hebrew children were? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or their Hebrew names, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Later on, much further down the road, there was this thing called a lion's den that Daniel was thrown in. But he had a base because he had seen God operate in his life. There was a whole lot of Israelites that were chosen and picked out and selected to go to Babylon. But it only mentions four that purposed in their hearts to follow God. See, it becomes very easy to just go with the flow. You get a new job and you want to look good in your new job, and so you don't want to rock the boat, and you say, I know I'm not supposed to work Sundays, but I don't want to tell my boss that, so I'm just going to go ahead and not say anything. Or, I need overtime, I'll just work instead of going to church. It's easy to make these little decisions, little compromises here and there, which is why we need support. Seek support when you decide to follow God. Don't try to go it alone. There's no Rambo Christian, right? We're all human. We're all flawed, and we have mistakes that we make, and nobody here is perfect. There's no one man or one woman army. We all need help. We need encouragement at times. Anybody here ever need encouragement? Have you ever decided that you wanted to do something? And maybe it was something good. Maybe you wanted to start a Bible study or teach a Sunday school class, and things didn't go the way you wanted and you got discouraged. That's why we meet together, to help encourage one another. Find like-minded individuals and work together. That's the purpose of a church, to work together for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. And sometimes it can be difficult to find people that you can trust. Has anybody ever had a friend or a friend that they thought they could trust, and then they found out later down the road that that wasn't such a good selection for a friend? We've probably all been there once or twice. But we need to find people that we can trust, somebody you can tell anything to, and seek their support when you make a decision for Christ. That's why we have church. It's people that we can work with and grow with and build one another up, edify, bring them together so we can further the kingdom of God, further the gospel. My family and I could not be on the field in Romania if we didn't have churches like this one supporting us so we could be there. We can't do it alone. And we're so thankful that there's churches that are supporting us so we can share the gospel to the people in Romania. Daniel purposed, he pooled, and he published. The second half of verse 8, it says, "Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel in favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me in danger of my head." So he went to the person in charge and he said, "Listen, we can't do this. This is against our religion. This is against our God. We'll be defiling ourselves. This is something we can't do." Now, I don't know how many Israelites were taken, but there was only four people that we know of here rocking the boat. It would have been really easy to compromise. And what did the prince of the eunuchs say? Whoa, listen, you just need to step in line. You need to go with the flow. Don't worry about what you're supposed to do or what you think you're supposed to do. You're going to get me in trouble. And Daniel could have quit there, but he didn't. He persevered. It says in verse 11, "Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants." So he consented unto them in this matter and proved them 10 days. So when he hit a little bit of adversity, he didn't fold up like origami, right? He said, no, I know that I'm supposed to do this. And even though I'm getting resistance, I'm going to keep seeking to get this change in my life. And so he found the right person and said, listen, just give us a 10-day trial, right? We see that all over the place, right? Just have a small trial. But he said, listen, test, prove God. See if us obeying what we're supposed to do is not good. He published it. He made his decision known to the higher-ups. It can be difficult, especially if you start a new job and everybody works Sundays, to go in and say, listen, Sunday is the day that I worship God in our local church. I can't work Sundays. That's a difficult thing to do. And you might get some resistance. And your boss might tell you, well, you know what? There's a lot of other Christians here that are working on Sundays. Are we going to let that stop us? He had the support of his friends, and he acted upon what he knew was right. You notice when he hit some resistance, it doesn't say that he threw a tantrum. He didn't go pout in the corner. He didn't take his ball and go home. There was no spectacle, just a resolve within himself. He purposed to obey and follow God. And so he was tried once and he was turned away, but that didn't stop it. He didn't give up at the first sign of trouble, as I've done so many times, and you probably have too. He said, it's not enough to know what's right. I have to do what's right. And so with his support, he continued until he found a way, until a way was made possible for him to obey God. If you're seeking to obey God, I promise you there will be resistance. But if you continue to seek God, you'll see the way through. We need to tell others about the decision that we've made to follow God. Whether it be our bosses, our friends, our spouses, co-workers, whatever it is, it's not to make a spectacle of us, right? It's not, hey, everybody, look at me, look what I'm doing. Because if that's your intent, it will likely fail. But we need to tell others because accountability is important. Amen. You don't have to tell other people that you're a Christian. They'll know. I found that out at one of my jobs that somebody said something. I said, well, how did they know? I didn't say anything. How did they know that I was a Christian? People know if you're a Christian, and they're watching you to see how you respond and react to different things. And if you tell people that you're going to take a stand, you better well keep what you said you're going to do. I can't tell you the amount of people that I've talked to that said, I don't like going to church because those places are filled with hypocrites. That is absolutely true. But let me tell you, every building in the entire world is full of hypocrites. Because every person in the world has said they were going to do something and not follow through at some point in time. Are we willing to follow what we know we're supposed to do no matter what? It won't be easy, but it's something we need to do. He purposed, he pooled, he published, and then he proved. We talk about letting people know what we're doing and why we're doing it. It's similar to the reason that we have baptisms, right? Baptism doesn't save us. That's not the purpose of it. A baptism is to show outwardly the change that's taken place on the inside. We're showing the world the change that Christ has made in us. If you say, well, yeah, that's a church thing. What about outside the church? There's groups like AA, and the fifth step in AA is telling others. Tell at least one person what you've done. It's very freeing to share a decision that you've made. Instead of keeping things bottled up, we like to keep things bottled up. But it's very freeing to share with others what you're doing and why. The Bible tells us that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. But you know what? God is always faithful, and we can always lean on him because he is stable. And we need to prove, just like Daniel did, that God will do what he's promised he will do. Verse 15 tells us, at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of the king's meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the 10 days, or at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm. He proved God truthful and faithful. God has never broken a promise. And God told us, I will never, never leave you or forsake you. He proved that God would do what he said he would do. It was a 3-year period that they had, and they had vegetables and water. And Daniel and his friends endured. Now, if you told me you were going to feed me vegetables and water for 3 years, and that was all I was going to have, I can't tell you that I'd be very happy. But they endured, they saw it through, they lasted, they finished the race because they knew that that was what was right, and they had other people to lean on and encourage them as they went through this process. And why did Daniel do what he did? To honor God, because God had commanded him to follow his law. They purposed in their heart to follow no matter what, because they wanted to honor and glorify God in the midst of a land that wasn't doing that. They saw it through, and God blessed them. So that they were 10 times wiser than anybody else around. They were healthier looking, even. Can you imagine that? They ate vegetables and they were healthy. But they proved God beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you follow God, he'll do what he says he will do. And they were able to build on that through the rest of their lives, through the fiery furnace, through the lion's den. Whatever came up, they had proof to rely on that God would do what he said he would do. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, some of my favorite verses. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. I promise we're coming to the end here rapidly. Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 1. It says, wherefore, seeing we are also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. I told you before, if you're a Christian, there's people watching you. We're compassed about with a cloud of witnesses. It says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience or endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's who we have on our side. That's who we can take our petitions to. The intermediary that's sitting right next to the throne of God. That's the person that we have on our side. Amen. We must endure. I told you it's not necessarily going to be easy. In fact, it'll probably be fairly difficult. But we can endure because Jesus endured, and we can lean on him. Don't give up. Don't give up following God. Choose each and every day to pick up your cross and follow him. Seek lasting, beneficial, biblical change in your life. Commit to follow God regardless of your circumstance or the consequence. God didn't promise it to be easy, but he promised he'd be with you each step of the way. If you cling to God, you'll make it through. I promise you, every time, he will bring you through. He blesses obedience and faithfulness. Is God calling you to do something today? If you'll stand as the musicians come, is there a decision you need to make this morning for God? See, God's still calling people. God's calling people to pastor churches, to the mission field, to teach Sunday school classes. There's a whole lot of things that God's calling people to do. What's God calling you to do this morning? Is God calling you to a relationship with him? Don't wait till it's too late. We don't have to wait to New Year's Day to make a choice to follow God wholeheartedly. That's what he desires for you more than anything. He's promised to give you everything you need each and every step of the way if you'll follow him in faith. If you have something this morning, come.
All right, with all our heads bowed and our eyes closed, the Lord has spoken to us through his man this morning, and he's spoken through his word. Now's the time for us to make a decision. Now's the time for us to choose to either submit to that or to reject that. I know that the altar is a public thing. You don't have to come to the altar. You can make a decision in your pew. We understand that. But man, it does make a world of difference making a public decision, a public decision. The altar is open. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know for sure that if you were to die today, you'd spend eternity in heaven with God. Man, if that's your trouble this morning, we want to help you with that. I know there's many, many here that know for sure that are saved, that have trusted Christ as their Savior. But maybe there may be just one that says, man, I don't know. Pastor Morales, I'm not sure if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven. Man, let us help you with that. Let us show you what God says in his word about going to heaven, about making sure that your eternity is secure. Maybe here this morning you say, Pastor Morales, I'm saved. I've trusted Christ as my Savior, but I've never followed the Lord in believer's baptism. I've never been scripturally baptized. And maybe that's you. Maybe that's a decision you have to make. Maybe there are others here this morning that say, Pastor Morales, I'm saved. I'm scripturally baptized, but I've never chosen to make First Baptist Church my church home. Man, we'd love to have you. Man, maybe that's a decision that you need to make today.